Vishnu Bhakti. Hamsau, two swans. Aham, I. Cha, and. Twam, you. Cha, also. Arnya, O great soul. Sukhayao, friends. Manasa, I and thou. Together in the Manasa Lake. Abhutam, became. Antara, separated. Va, indeed. Okaha, from the original home. Sahasra, thousands. Pari, successively. Vatsaran, years. Translation, my dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. So you can repeat, my dear gentle friend. Both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. The original home of the living entity and the supreme personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. Even while he is in that position, the Lord remains with him as the Supersoul, his intimate friend. Because of his forgetfulness, the living entity does not know that the Supreme Lord is accompanying him as the Supersoul. In this way, the living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity, because of forgetful material existence, does not recognize him. So, ham sabaham chatvam charya, so kayo madasaya now, abhutam adharavauka, sahasra parivatsaran. So, omaganativadanda shah, gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shikurve namaha. So, interesting topic here that Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the spiritual world, we live together peacefully. And in the spiritual world, we both share a blissful life, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So I want to comment a little about this because generally this particular description of a blissful life and peacefulness is misunderstood by the impersonalists. They think a blissful life basically means the elimination of everything that doesn't cause you, that causes you distress. Of course, the Buddhists, they have this as their philosophy, that misery is caused by attachment. You know, the material world is miserable. Misery is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment and give up the miseries, etc., like this. These are the, and, of course, the last principle is the by the right thinking, right life, etc., then one can give up the attachment, and that's the process of Buddhism. So there's this conception in the spiritual world, everybody has this inane smile on their faces, and they're just like blissed out. You ever hear that saying? During the 1960s, that was a very common saying that someone's, I'm really blissed out. And someone who just sit there under the influence of whatever, and they would just have this like inane smile on their faces. But the spiritual world, the happiness in the spiritual world is not like that. And it's not, it's simply a projection of our misunderstanding of what happiness is within this world. You know, happiness in this world, as we've described many times before, is the negation of the pain. Lord Chaitanya gave this example in relation to the punishment that they used to have in America and also in India, the dunking stool punishment. In the dunking stool punishment, you put someone who is a criminal under the water until he's practically dead. You know, he can't, obviously you can't breathe. So until he's practically dead, and then you bring him up after about 3 or 4 minutes, and he's able to breathe, and he thinks that that stage of neutrality where you're breathing, there's no positive happiness in breathing, of course, but the cessation of pain is the happiness. So we and the impersonalists sort of project that particular misunderstanding upon the spiritual realm, that we simply have to cease the pain in the material world, and then we're going to be happy. That's not actually a fact. So the spiritual world has a type of happiness that appears even confusing to the conditioned soul. Just like we say that the description of the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. Anybody know what the word Vaikuntha means? Without anxiety. And yet, when we hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, especially in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a lot of Kuntha there. There's a lot of anxiety. You know, and so we explain this. Let me explain some of the instances of anxiety in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda is an anxiety about Krishna, whether he's getting enough to eat. When she wakes him up in the morning, she sees all these different marks on his body that were left by the gopis the previous night, and she's thinking that he really scratched themselves on the briars and the brambles of Vrindavan. And Krishna, when she wakes him in the morning, he looks tired still because he's been out all night. And actually there's some dirt there, and he's maybe wearing the wrong color dhoti. So she's in complete anxiety when she sees Krishna. You know, what's happening with my little boy? And what to speak of when the demons come? There's even more anxiety. So we actually see, as you go higher through the rasas, that is from the Shantaras all the way to the Madhurya Ras, there's more anxiety. The gopis, they're in anxiety for a variety of reasons. One is, of course, the feeling of separation from Krishna. Yugayatam nivishena chakshusha pravashayatam. You know, one moment is like a yuga cycle, or even more. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda vidahiname. That it's, they're feeling all void, not only vacant, but void in Krishna's absence. So the gopis are actually feeling that, and then they're in anxiety even about Krishna walking through the pasturing grounds in his bare feet, because Krishna refuses to put shoes on. Because he doesn't want to consider himself better than the cows. You know, the cows don't wear shoes. Horses sometimes wear shoes, but cows don't wear shoes. So Krishna says that the cows don't have shoes, I'm not going to wear shoes. So the gopis are in anxiety about Krishna just walking there with his bare feet, which are so soft. Krishna's feet are so soft that even if you touch them like an instantaneous soft touch, they turn different colors. Just like, of course, we don't have such soft hands, but if you touch real hard, it turns a different color, right? It turns white, like if you, or red or something like that. But Krishna's feet and Krishna's hands and Krishna's skin is so soft, it just like, touch it like that and all the different colors come out. And so you can imagine, you know, someone so delicate in his feet, he's walking through the pasturing ground and the gopis are in anxiety about him. And Krishna likes to put the gopis in anxiety. You know, Krishna mentions their competitors' names sometimes. You know, with Chandravali, he mentions Srimati Radharani's name by accident on purpose. And with Radharani, Krishna mentions Chandravali's name by accident on purpose. And he even tells Vrinda, you know, just have the monkeys say something so they will be ratting on him, you know, in other words, reporting that he was associating with Radharani's competitor. So he wants to put her in anxiety. Or he has what to speak of the so-called husbands of the gopis, like Govardhan Mala, who is the husband of Chandravali, or Abhimanyu, who is the husband of Srimati Radharani, or Gutila. I mean, these entities provide so much anxiety for the gopis, isn't it? They're anxiety. They're going to show up, you know, at the wrong... And they usually do show up at the wrong moment. Krishna arranges that. They're just at the wrong or right moment when Radha and Krishna, you know, settle an argument and they're getting ready to have some pastime. Then who shows up at Jatila or Kutila or Abhimanyu? Oh, it's a disaster. And then there's the pastime of... the Kali and Nag serpent. When Krishna dove into the Jamuna to chastise the Kali serpent, it was a while before he actually manifested that he was superior to the Kali serpent. In the beginning, he was just like under the water, and they could see all sorts of like whirlpools and disturbances on the water, and they didn't know what was happening to their Krishna. So that everyone was in anxiety. Even there was blood coming to the surface. And so they were in anxiety about that. So Vaikuntha is no longer Vaikuntha. Because in the Vaikuntha realm, or at least in the spiritual world, the Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha is probably without anxiety. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there's tons of anxiety. And so how can we call that bliss? That one is an anxiety in the spiritual world. The higher you go, the more anxiety you experience. Those in Shantaras, they don't experience much anxiety. Why is that? Because they see Krishna as God. You know, Shanta means that you adore Krishna. He's God, our Father who art in heaven, whatever it is. And so there's not so much anxiety about Krishna then. All right, Krishna. He's God. He can take care of himself. He's my Lord. Vandasha, there's more, and Satya even more, Vatsalya even more, and Madhurya, complete anxiety about Krishna and Krishna's... So, and anxiety and separation and all these other things. So to an impersonalist, this does not appear very attractive. And that may be one reason why... people want to leave the spiritual world because of all the anxiety there. It's actually, in one sense, more than the material world. But what is the bliss? And so I'm getting to the point, like, what is the happiness in devotional service? Because even in the material world, serving Krishna is anxiety. Like Prabhupada showed this in many instances. I remember the... story where Prabhupada sent Tumal Krishna Maharaj out to purchase the land in Mayapur. And he gave Tumal Krishna instructions how to keep the money in a sort of like very primitive money belt. It wasn't something that Tumal Krishna Maharaj bought, but it was like some cloth that he wrapped around, put around his waist. And so Prabhupada, when he sent Tumal Krishna Maharaj with what at that time was a lot of money, nowadays... devotees go shopping for the deities and with more money in their money belts than that. Because the movement has become much more wealthy, or the devotees have become much more wealthy. So, but Prabhupada couldn't sleep that night. He was in anxiety. In fact, he was pacing up and down, waiting for Tumal Krishna Maharaj to come back. And Prabhupada was in anxiety over his disciples. Prabhupada was in anxiety over the whole Bombay affair, you know, causing him headaches. with this Mr. Nair, who attempted to steal our money and take back the property. You know, so much anxiety is there, so much distress, like Prabhupada came over in the boat and experienced so much distress coming over in the boat. I mean, the boat's rocking back and forth. Prabhupada's having, I don't know if anyone's been an ocean cruise, and not in a, we're not talking about an ocean liner. Of course, nowadays the ocean liners aren't so safe either, but that's another story. But if you've ever been in like a, not a cruise ship, but a cargo ship going across the ocean, it rocks. I don't mean like in a happy way. Like nowadays they have the statement or something. If something is nice, they say, it rocks. You ever hear that statement before? The young people say that. It rocks. You really rock. But, you know, just back and forth and you're hanging over the side, doing whatever you're doing when you're hanging over the side. And so Prabhupada endured distress, anxiety in the service of Krishna. And even one time Prabhupada said, or another devotee said, Prabhupada, you know, I joined this movement to become happy and free of anxiety. And Prabhupada said, me too, but it didn't work. So how do we call this bliss? The question is, how do we call this bliss? Because it's loving exchange. Because the bliss of the impersonalist is boring. It's better to be in anxiety than bored. Because at least in anxiety, you're not in a depressed. But boredom is extremely, not just boring, it's depressing. It's just depressing, you know, watching the clock goes slower and slower and slower. When you're bored, I mean, I've experienced that sometimes in an airplane when I don't bring enough things to entertain me. You know, where these 14-hour flights to India, and you keep looking at the watch and it just never moves. Actually, I was just reading something about when you take flights, don't look at your watch because it makes the flight worse. Because you keep looking at it for 14 hours and only 1 hour has gone by and there's 13 more hours and I can't sleep sitting up. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm all cramped up here. And then the lady next to me is changing the diapers on her baby. And it stinks. Anyway. You know, so anyway, so that's my experience in flying. So boredom is really hellish. But love, anxiety that one experiences out of love is actually happiness. I mean, what is it? What is an expression of love anyway? The expression of love, and love is the highest happiness. The expression of love is struggle, anxiety, tension, right? This is how love is expressed. Love is not expressed by some like blissed out smile. There's anxiety, tension, suspense, all these other things. Just like you see even in the movies sometimes, it's expressed like that. So this is what is going on in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. And we left that place experiencing the greatest loving exchange. Love means to simply please the beloved, be willing to take any sort of anxiety or austerity in order to please the beloved. And there's a great happiness in that. When one is struggling for pleasing the beloved or anxiety or contemplating or meditating in anxiety upon the beloved, it makes one's meditation much more intense when one is thinking like that. Like the mood of separation, which is the mood of anxiety. You know, when are we going to meet with Krishna again? Is the most intense, dedicated, focused mood that one can find in love of Krishna, this Vipralamba Seva. So, anyway, so this is what's going on in the spiritual world. And in the material world, we do experience anxiety too, because it is the world of Kunta. However, that anxiety is not happy anxiety. It is not expression of love from the heart. That anxiety is completely misery from the beginning to the end, and it doesn't accomplish anything, doesn't purify anything. So we in the Krishna conscious movement, here's the point, should put ourselves in a situation where we're in anxiety to please and serve Krishna. Just like we have so many projects that are planned, like we have this, the new temple, you know, the anxiety, how can we raise $4 million? And sometimes I got some calls. I was talking for a while with the devotees in Bosnia, and, you know, there's anxiety about different things going on there, you know. And so without that, that's our service. Our service means to be in anxiety for Krishna, to please Krishna, just like a mother. You know, mother's happy with her anxiety for the child. So this is Krishna consciousness, and we should take this anxiety for pleasing Krishna rather than the anxiety for pleasing ourselves. So any questions or comments about these things? We got about 10 minutes. Actually, we left a lot of time open. Yeah.
Yeah. With us as a friend, but in the heart.
Yeah, that's right. So what's the question?
So I guess when we first come, we're supposed to have like an elevated birth, so then we're not so covered up. Do we remember how Krishna was our friend in the first birth?
Well, it depends. In the first birth in the material world, we're not so covered up, but we may not remember how Krishna was our friend. Like Prabhupada said that sometimes one takes birth as... Well, generally, one takes birth as Lord Brahma, something like that. But sometimes Lord Brahma is the greatest karmi, the greatest jnani, and is not always the greatest devotee. So there's forgetfulness. There's forgetfulness in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one becomes enamored and attached to the sense of happiness. Like mode of goodness, happiness, for example. It's like I was somewhere recently, and the person was pointing out to me the mountains and how beautiful the mountains are and everything like that. And, you know, I wasn't into it. But anyway, so he was into it. So I said, oh, isn't that a beautiful mountain? And I was thinking, you've seen one, you've seen them all. Just a bunch of rocks. But anyway. just a bunch of rocks. So the mode of goodness means just look at the mountains and the snowfall, you know, the white, the snow-covered caps of the mountains, or you go to see the icebergs in Alaska, how beautiful the icebergs, or you listen to some classical music. I don't even know if that's in the mode of goodness. But anyway, that's mode of goodness. But how is it connected to Krishna? I mean, devotee should always be thinking, how is this connected to Krishna? You know, how is this connected to service to Krishna? So in the mode of goodness, it's not necessarily true that you're thinking of Krishna more. You may think you'd be thinking of Krishna less in the mode of goodness than you are. Of course, the mode of goodness is an ideal place to concentrate on Krishna. And you can use it to meditate, because the mind is more peaceful in the mode of goodness. But also one can be just as bewildered, if not more bewildered, in the mode of goodness. I mean, the example typically given is that if one wants to take an airplane, usually you have to go to the airport to take an airplane. So the mode of goodness is compared to that airport from which one could take off to the spiritual realm. But it's not necessarily true that if one is in the airport, one is going to take a plane. There's many shops in the airport, too. And especially nowadays, the airports are filled with shops. And so we see people like spending so much time, they forget to take their plane. You hear this all the time when you're flying. Can so-and-so come to the gate? The plane is getting ready to take off. And they've already checked in. They've already gone through security. The plane is getting ready to take off. If you don't come in 5 minutes, your bags are going to become unloaded. because they're so much enamored with the phantasmagoria in the airport. Of course, I'm not saying the airport's the mode of goodness. That's not the point. But if you come to the mode of goodness, you may become so much enamored by the material nature that you actually forget about the purpose of human form of life. So it's not necessarily true that if one remembers that Krishna is his friend when he first comes down to the material world. What? Well, we want to forget. The reason we come here is we want to forget. We want to forget that Krishna is Bhoktaram Jagatapasa Sarva Lokamaheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Getva Mam Shantim Richati. We want to forget that Krishna is the enjoyer. Because we want to be, you know, in the spiritual world, we're in so much anxiety about Krishna, we want people to be anxiety about us. Just like we'd like it very much if our mother is in anxiety about us. Right? I remember when I was young, I liked to put my mother in anxiety about me. And it was just so relishable. I'm so worried about you. I'm concerned about you. I'm cleaning up after you. There's a certain happiness there. It's called material happiness. Because that's imitation of Krishna. So the point is that we should remember that Krishna is our friend, Krishna is in the heart, and we're meant to be in anxiety for Krishna. Prabhupada said, without a difficult time, where's the question of purification? Right? So we expect an easy time in Krishna consciousness? Mm-mm. If you want an easy time, it's not going to happen. You know, things are going to be difficult. And that difficulty, but if you take that as an offering of love or an offering of devotion, that difficulty becomes a source of happiness. Like a mother has a child. Is it an easy time to have a child? Anyone here have a child? Yeah, Logan and Priya, some of the other. Is it easy being woken up all night in anxiety every time the child goes achoo? That you worry and the fever goes up. Isn't it? When you have babies, the fever, they have fever sometimes. You don't sleep all night. The child has colic. Won't tell you what that is. But, you know, it's just so much anxiety. But the mother wouldn't trade. If I say to the mother, would you, all right, so I'll just take the baby. You don't have to have it anymore. No more anxiety. She said, no. Because it's an anxiety of love. Right? I mean, nowadays, of course, it's a different thing. But I'm talking about good mothers. Good mothers. You know, like Lokananda Priya or Damodara Priya or, you know, whatever. You know, there's so many ladies here who were mothers before. And you wouldn't trade it for anything. Right? And even the pain of childbirth is just like intense. But it's just like, it's a loving exchange. Right? I mean, I don't know. I'm just speaking theoretically. I'm speaking theoretically about these things. So it's the same thing in the spiritual world. I mean, the pain is actually a symptom of your giving yourself to the child or giving ourselves to Krishna. And that's nectarian, that I made this sacrifice. I mean, just like if one runs a marathon or something, it's a lot of pain. But there's a happiness because you have this some higher goal. So I'm giving myself my health, my heart, my love to Krishna. And one becomes so happy, even if there's, you know, especially if there's pain, because that's love. And that's a test of love. One is ready to do that. And happy to, not only ready to do that, happy to do that. Right? It takes him austerity for Krishna, like Prabhupada showed his love for his spiritual master and for Krishna in this way. So any other questions or comments? Yeah. Go on Sankirtan. Who's getting older? Not me. Take it easy. Tomar la suave. That means take it easy in Spanish. So... And did Prabhupada do that?
Prabhupada actually worked harder the older his body was. Because that's love. You push. Or as one devotee said to me one time, he said, you have to treat your body like a catcher's mitt in baseball. You just keep punching it, keep it in shape. I don't know if you've ever seen a catcher in baseball. Yeah. Well, actually, is it that hand? Which hand does he catch with? I don't remember. I actually, it's been so long since I've seen it. But he catches with the right hand if he's a righty?
Right hand, he catches with the
left hand.
Mm-hmm.
You sure? Oh, that's right. See how stupid I am? I don't remember any baseball. So he keeps punching it just to keep it in shape. He doesn't say, oh, the poor mitt, you know, it's getting punched too much. Poor mitt. Let me put it in the closet so it can rest a little bit. And Prabhupada said, give me the benediction of dying on the battlefield, like a kshatriya. No, so we should push. And that's love. That's really love, to keep pushing. To put yourself in anxiety, not to take anxiety for anxiety's sake, but to put yourself into a situation where you're struggling to please Krishna. And we see this in the case of the great acharyas. Like his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? And that's the spiritual world. And that's what you're going to get eternally. You know, the spirit, isn't it? I mean, unless you're just in Shanta Ras, then everything's just like peaceful. But service, your anxiety over service. Even that Doruka, who was serving Krishna by fanning him. He was experiencing ecstasy, and he was in anxiety over his ecstasies. He just said, let his ecstasies go away so I can continue fanning properly. Because the whole idea is to please. That's love. The highest happiness is love. Not bliss in a mundane sense, but the highest bliss, the highest spiritual bliss, is the exchange of love and the struggle to please the beloved. And that's what's happening in the spiritual world. So any other questions or comments?
I want to know if they're maybe thinking they're taking on too much anxiety.
With association of devotees. Actually, if you take on too much, that's called niyamagraha. I mean, not niyamagraha, achahara. Prayasas. It's called prayasas, over endeavor. So you have to be practical. You don't want to take on so much anxiety that you end up killing yourself. But or deviating from the principles of Krishna consciousness, or going crazy. You know, but we should struggle. An easy life, Prabhupada said, an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together, either in this world or in the spiritual world. Okay, on that happy note, any other questions? We got about 1 minute left. From anybody else? You go on Sankirtan. I mean, what's the problem? You going today? Great. The airport.
The hospital.
Oh my God. So, if there's no other questions, we can end. All glorious is divine grace to the Prabhupada.